Title: Workflow for producing drum and bass from one sample pack in Ableton Live Intermediate. Alright, today we're doing a challenge that's secretly one of the fastest ways to get good at drum and bass. Producing a full rolling idea using only one sample pack. And I mean it, one pack for all your audio content. No grabbing a better snare from somewhere else. No cheating with extra loops. The only thing you're allowed to use outside the pack is Ableton stock devices, because shaping, processing, and resampling is part of the craft. This is an intermediate workflow lesson, so I'm going to assume you know your way around Ableton basics. The goal here is speed, cohesion, and decision-making, while still getting a proper drum and bass drop section happening. Think 16 to 32 bars of a rolling, techie, slightly jungle-rooted vibe, tight drums, forward motion, dark space. Before we touch anything, the big reason this works is cohesion. When everything comes from one pack, the sounds naturally belong together. That means less time fighting mix problems and more time writing the tune. Let's set up the project first. Set your tempo to something in the drum and bass zone, 172 to 176 BPM. I like 174 as a default. Next, check your warping habits. For drums, you'll usually want beats mode, preserving transients. For tonal material, complex pro or tones depending on the sample. Don't overthink it, just be consistent. Now make four track groups right away. A drums group, a bass group, an effects or atmos group, and optionally a reference track, muted, if you want to drop in a reference tune later. The point of grouping early is that you mix and arrange faster, because your session is organized before it gets messy. Quick teacher note, once you build a session skeleton you like, save it as a template. That's not boring, that's professional. Now, step 1, auditing the pack fast. Here's the mindset. You're not exploring the pack, you're hunting anchors. You want one or two kicks, one or two snares, a handful of hats and percussion, and a few weird texture sounds. Those weird ones are your identity moments, foley, impacts, drones, vocal bits, whatever the pack has. Before you even pick samples, take 60 seconds and name what this pack is best at. Is it crispy tops, huge snares, rave stabs, vintage break funk, dark atmos? Decide, because your track should lean into the pack's strength, so the one pack constraint feels like a feature, not a limitation. In Ableton, drag the pack folder into your browser under Places, so it's easy to navigate. Use Preview with Tempo on, and start making decisions fast. Create a folder inside your project called Selected, and only copy your picks into that folder. This is huge. You're building your own mini pack for this session, and it keeps you from falling into endless browsing. Hard rule. Do not overpick. Aim for 15 to 25 samples maximum. If you pick 80 sounds, you're basically rebuilding the entire internet, and your track will take 3 days. Now add a second rule, make a do not touch shortlist. Pick 3 to 5 protected anchors. Typically, your kick, your snare, your main hat, your main tonal source for bass, and maybe your main texture. You're allowed to process them, resample them, distort them, whatever. But you're not allowed to replace them mid-session. This stops the classic loop of maybe there's a better snare. Cool. Step 2. Build a drum rock micro kit. Create a MIDI track, drop a drum rock on it, and name it drum rock. Put your kick on C1, snare on D1, closed hat on F-sharp 1, open hat on A-sharp 1. Then add a few extra pads for percussion, a ghost snare pad, maybe the clap layer if the pack has something useful. The reason we do a micro kit is speed. Drum and bass is about momentum, and if you're constantly searching for new sounds, you kill momentum. Let's shape the kick first using stock devices. On the kick pad, add EQ8. High pass gently around 25 to 30 HC just to remove useless sub-rumble. If it's muddy, dip somewhere in the 200 to 350 range by a couple dB. Then add drum bus. Drive around 2 to 6 and keep boom subtle. Like 0 to 15%. Drum and bass low end needs to be tight, not inflated. Add a bit of damp if it's too bright. Then add saturator on analog clip mode. Drive 1 to 4 dB. Soft clip on. Teacher commentary here. Don't mix the kick in isolation. You're just getting it into the zone so it behaves. The real test is kick plus sub plus snare together. Now the snare. DNB snare is the leader. If the snare doesn't feel like the front of the record, the whole tune feels amateur. On the snare pad, EQ8, high pass around 120 to 180 HC to keep low end clean. If it needs body, a gentle lift around 180 to 250. For crack, a small bell boost in the 2 to 5 kHz area, like plus 2 to 4 dB. Then do transient shaping with drum bus. Push transients anywhere from plus 10 to plus 30, depending on how aggressive you want it. Now set up a short room reverb send. Create a return track called room. Put Ableton reverb on it. Small to medium size. Decay roughly 0.4 to 0.9 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds so the snare stays punchy before the room bloom hits. High pass the reverb at 300 to 600 Hz. Low pass around 6 to 10 kHz to keep it controlled. Then send the snare lightly, something like minus 18 to minus 10 dB. You want the snare to feel like it exists in a space, not swimming in it. Reminder, in drum and bass, too much wet reverb makes the groove fall backwards. We want forward motion. Now step 3. Program the rolling two-step groove. Make a 1-bar MIDI clip and loop it. Start with the skeleton. Snare on beat 2 and beat 4. That's the foundation. Put the kick on beat 1 and then a second kick variation around beat 3. A classic example is kick at 1.1.1 and 1.3.3 with snares at 1.2.1 and 1.4.1. If you want it straighter, try the second kick at 1.3.1. Small changes there massively change the feel. Now we make it roll with ghost notes. Here's the trick. Use the same snare sample. Duplicate it when you pad. This becomes your ghost snare. Pitch it up 1 to 3 semitones for a brighter tick, or down 1 for darker. In simpler, shorten the decay so it's more like a tap than a full snare. Then drop its volume way down, like 12 to 20 dB quieter than the main snare. Place ghost hits around the mains. Try little taps at 1.1.4, 1.2.4, 1.3.4. And then adjust by ear. Then make it human. Ghost velocities around 15 to 45, main snare velocities around 95 to 115. If everything hits at the same velocity, it's going to sound like a typewriter. If you're on live 11 or 12, use note probability on a few ghost hits. Set some to trigger only 20 to 50% of the time. That's instant natural variation, without adding any new sounds. Now hats. You can do closed hats on off beats as eighth notes for classic roll, or go to sixteenths if you want more energy. Add one open hat just before or after a snare to create a push. Then we add groove. Open the groove pool and grab a stock swing 16 groove. Apply it lightly. Amount around 10 to 25%, timing around 60 to 80. But here's the key. Swing separation. Apply swing to the hats and percussion only. Keep kick and snare rigid. That's how you keep punch while still getting movement. One more micro timing trick. Nudge some hats slightly late, like 5 to 12 milliseconds. That laid-back delay can make the loop feel like it's rolling forward without sounding rushed. At this point, we're going to talk mindset. Three-lane production. Lane 1 is core. Kick, snare, sub, main bass phrase. Lane 2 is support, hats, ghosts, percussion, secondary bass notes. Lane 3 is ear candy, reverses, impacts, tiny fills, one-off weirdness. If the loop feels busy, mute ear candy first. Don't start ripping out core elements. Core is the identity. Ear candy is optional decoration. Now step 4. Turn one bass sample into a Reese using resampling. If your pack includes a bass one-shot or Reese sample, perfect. If not, use any tonal sample, a stab, a vocal note, a pad hit. We're going to force it into bass territory with processing. Create a track in the bass group. Load the tonal sample into simpler in classic mode. If it's a clean one shot, turn warp off inside simpler. Turn on loop if you need sustain, and set a small loop region so it holds a tone. Add a filter. LP24, set frequency around 150 to 400 Hz to start, and add some filter drive, like 2 to 8, to give it bite. Now the Reese chain, stock only. Add chorus ensemble, amount 20 to 45%, rate 0.2 to 0.6 Hz, spread 80 to 120, then saturator, drive 3 to 8 dB, soft clip on, then auto filter, LP12 or LP24, and map cutoff to a macro so you can move it, then EQ 8 to clean any mud around 200 to 400 if needed, then utility for mono discipline. Mono discipline matters here, everything below about 120 Hz should be mono. If you have live 12 bass mono, use it. If not, build an audio effect rack with two chains. One chain is SUB, low pass at 0 to 120 and utility width at 0%. The other chain is MID, high pass at 120 and let width be 80 to 140% if you want it wide. Now the key workflow move, resampling. Create a new audio track called Bass Resample. Set its input to resampling. Record 4 to 8 bars of you playing bass notes and moving the filter and chorus amount a bit. Don't aim for perfection. Aim for a performance with movement. Once you've printed it, you've won. Because now you can slice it, gate it, reverse tiny bits, and do rhythmic edits without getting stuck tweaking a synth chain forever. This is how one pack production becomes fast and still sounds like sound design. Try this advanced variation. After printing, take the last tiny slice of a bar, like the last eighth note, reverse it, or stutter one mid note into sixteenths for one bar only, or pitch a single slice up seven semitones as a call and response answer. Same resample, new vibe. Now step 5, sub bass. Even if your Reese has low end, you want a dedicated sub for consistency. Create a MIDI track called SUB. Drop operator on it. Oscillator is a sine wave. Attack basically instant, like 0 to 5 milliseconds, release around 60 to 150 milliseconds. EQ 8 if you need it, low pass around 80 to 120 just to keep it clean. Keep sub notes simple, root notes, maybe an occasional fifth. Let the mid bass do the talking. In most drum and bass mixes, the sub is about stability, not personality. Now step 6. Make Atmos or texture from the same pack. Pick any noise, Foley, vocal shard, impact, something with character. Drop it on an audio track called Atmos. Warp it in texture mode. Set grain size around 80 to 200 to stretch it into a bed. Add reverb with a long decay, like 4 to 10 seconds, and high pass the reverb around 400 to 800 so it doesn't cloud the low end. Add auto pan, slow rate like 0.05 to 0.15 Hz, amount 30 to 70, so it gently moves. Teacher note, Atmos should be space, not information. High pass higher than you think, sometimes 400 to even 1K. And if it fights your snare, notch a little in the 2 to 5K range, so your snare crack stays dominant. Optional but powerful. Freeze and flatten the Atmos once it feels good. Committing early is a superpower. Which brings us to a coat rule. Print early, print often. Every time something feels 90% right, print it. Bass movement, hat loop, Atmos bed. Because the moment you can edit audio, you stop endlessly tweaking and you start finishing music. Now step 7. Glue and sidechain routing, the essential control for DNB. Sidechain the bass and sub to the kick. Put compressor on the SUB and on the main bass track. Sidechain input from the kick, ideally post effects so it reacts to your final kick shape. Ratio around 3:1 to 6:1. Attack 1 to 10 milliseconds. Release 50 to 120 milliseconds. Tune to feel. Aim for 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction on big kick hits. If the bass is masking the kick, your release is likely too slow. If you hear ugly pumping, your attack or release is probably too extreme. The goal is space, not obvious ducking. Then glue the drums lightly. This audio version is shortened for playback.